Welcome to Africa Now. Today's show features Reflections on Malcolm X, Part 1, Contextualizing Elhaj Malik El-Shabazz. Africa Now is next. Welcome to the show, Mwiza Muntali. The music in the background is Black Man by Stevie Wonder. And we play that commemorating his birthday, which was May 13. First, I just want to thank the listeners for supporting Don't Forget the Blues with Clarence the Bluesman Turner today during our spring pledge drive. Our goal for this hour is $600, and I'm certain we can go well over our goal. Call today at 1-800-222-9739. That's 1-800-222-9739. Or visit wpfwfm.org. Your continuous support over the years has made it possible for us to cover and connect the issues in the entire African world and the rest of the globe. Nelson Mandela said that education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world. WPFW has been utilizing education in the service of liberation for over 47 years by presenting informative and insightful programming, both cultural and political, to enrich mind, body, and spirit. Today, we invite you to support this University of the Air during our spring pledge drive by making your donation today by clicking the Donate Now button. As we commemorate WPFW's Spirit of Education for Liberation and Malcolm X's birthday, which was on May 19, Africa Now goes into its archives with the first part of a series which highlights some of the discussions which took place during the Malcolm X Radical Tradition and the Legacy of Struggle conference, which was held in New York City in November 1990. More than 3,000 people from 25 countries attended the conference, which featured more than 100 speakers that led 24 sessions that deeply explored, contextualized, and situated Elhaj Malik El-Shabazz in the genealogy of Black radical internationalism as a Pan-Africanist. In part one, contextualizing Elhaj Malik El-Shabazz, you first hear Amiri Baraka opening the conference with a series of meditations on why we need this conference, and then a poem entitled Today for Malcolm. Then in the following order is Abdul Al-Kalimat, Lou Turner, Vicky Garvin, and Yuri Kochiyama contextualize Elhaj Malik El-Shabazz. Here is Africa Now's executive producer and co-host James Pope with the conversations.
In November 1990, more than 3,000 people from 25 countries attended the Malcolm X Radical Tradition and a Legacy of Struggle conference held in New York City. More than 100 speakers led 24 sessions that deeply explored, contextualized, and situated Elhaj Malik El-Shabazz in the genealogy of Black radical internationalism as a Pan-Africanist. There is an argument that could be made that Elhaj Malik El-Shabazz is an archetype of what I have argued elsewhere as a critical Africana human rights consciousness. This paraxis, the intellectual production, and the Black radical and revolutionary practice that it produces, is in fact a critique of and expansion on dominant human rights theory and practice. When we turn attention to Elhaj Malik El-Shabazz's evolution as an internationalist activist theoretician, we can begin to truly grasp the breadth, depth, and rhythms of the various manifestations of Africana people's struggles for freedom. With the insertion of Africana ways of being and forms of knowledge, we can begin to see that the human, as produced from European modernity, is not the same conceptualization of human as articulated in the various indigenous Africana ethics. In short, and quoting Elhaj Malik El-Shabazz, we are not talking the same language. This idea rests upon the assertion that Shabazz's practice, albeit incomplete due to his untimely death, represents an important nexus not only in the African-American manifestation, but in the overall struggle for freedom in the entire African world. Shabazz's critical Africana human rights consciousness specifically attempted to merge various manifestations of Black radical praxis into a clearer articulation of the Black radical tradition and its objectives, to posit a guide for revolutionary thought and practice rooted in Pan-Africanism. Shabazz's critical Africana human rights consciousness called for a reassessment of the African-American manifestation of the struggle for freedom to refocus its objectives to fight for human rights within an internationalist frame, to be resituated in the long tradition of Black radical internationalism and Pan-Africanism. When applied, this human rights perspective suggests that the study and ethics of the Negro problem as Shabazz understood them were centered around questions of developing the appropriate institutional, ideological, internationalist, and counter-discourse that was centered on something more than a struggle for civil rights, but a struggle for human rights. More importantly, his concerted efforts to develop ideological and organizational expression to the radical internationalist theory of freedom, which characterized his evolution, particularly post-NOI, were immense. His direct personal influence on key circles of activists and organizations historically and contemporarily has proven to be significant. As his human rights discourse developed, his thought and practice began to influence the objectives of not only grassroots movements, but ideologically shift civil rights organizations as well. We can see this influence on the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, where Shabazz personally and directly precipitated its process in transforming from being simply a civil rights organization to becoming a major source of radical ideas and strategies. According to William Sells, without the revolutionary nationalism and Pan-Africanism of Malcolm X, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee's white paper on Black power, its white paper on the Vietnam War, and its subsequent activism in opposition to the war and U.S. imperialism generally would not have occurred when it did. We further see the intellectual genealogy and continued affinity with El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz's critical Africana human rights consciousness in various expressions, from the development of Max Stanford's revolutionary action movement to Black power activists to the Black Panther Party, from Black student movements to the Black arts movement, as well as the Black consciousness movement in South Africa, from Mississippi, Harlem, and Palestine to the Malcolm X grassroots movement. El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz's legacy is undeniable. Sessions at the 1990 conference included an exploration of Malcolm in Ghana, theoretical perspectives on Malcolm, Malcolm in New York, new research on Malcolm, Black liberation and social revolution, does the Southern struggle still exist, Black women and Black liberation fighting oppression and building unity, Black workers' unity and resistance to economic barbarism, etc. Questions that animated the discussions included, but not limited to, has the quality of life changed for Black workers since the days of Malcolm? Have computers and robots impacted the lives of Black workers? Are trade unions active contributors to the fight for Black liberation? What is the role of Black organizations like Black Workers for Justice, the League of Revolutionary Black Workers, Black Workers Congress, Coalition of Black Trade Unionists? There was a call to discuss the case of Assata Shakur and why she was forced to live in exile in Cuba, and what should be done. Discuss the nature of triple oppression faced by Black women, race, class, and gender. What is the role of feminism in the Black liberation movement, etc., etc. In 1990, many grassroots-based activists and youth in search of institutionalizing a moral righteousness were looking to return to a more militant movement. Many had never stopped learning from the thought of El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz. Each generation since 1960s, when facing the problems of their moment and circumstance, would rediscover Malcolm, as his voice has proven to have a high degree of sustainability. He has been sustained by the love and respect of his people and freedom-loving people of all nations and classes. Conference planners approached the conference in an ecumenical manner, looking for people of all ideological and political persuasions. Africa Bold Now Project will share some of this conference in an effort to engender serious engagement with El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz's thought and practice. Not in the narrow confines of him as an individual or a pigeonhole him to moments and sound bites, but to identify the tradition that produced Malcolm as a nexus, a point of entry for many into seriously trying to figure out what is to be done. We encourage you to visit Abdullah Kalimat's website to explore, read, and hear more of the conference. The link will be in the description of the program. The archive is rich. We did not include sessions with important revolutionary organizer intellectuals, as well as academics such as Daruba Ben-Wahad, Bell Hooks, James Cone, Chukwe Lumumba, Linda Burnham, Malefe Asante, John Woodford, Timothy Johnson, Estelia Vasquez, Sylvia Hill, Clarence Lusain, Akineli Moja, etc. But what you will hear next is Africa Bold Now Project's contribution, part one, contextualizing El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz, which will be part of a series on this conference. Part two and part three will be made available on our podcast and accessible through all podcast platforms. What you will hear next is Amiri Baraka opening the conference with a series of meditations on why we need this conference and then a poem titled Today for Malcolm. We will then hear, in the following order, Abdullah Kalimat, Lou Turner, Vicky Garvin, and Yuri Kochiyama contextualize El-Haj Malik El-Shabazz. Our show is produced today in solidarity with the Native, Indigenous, African, and Afro-descendant communities at Standing Rock, Venezuela, Corporation Jackson in Jackson, Mississippi, Brazil, the Avalon Village in Detroit, Colombia, Kenya, Palestine, South Africa, Ghana, Haiti, and other places who are fighting for the protection of our land for the benefit of all peoples. Listen intently, think critically, act accordingly.
Do what I want when they do what they can. Blew up, I'm famous from sampling a band. Adult Swim, they got me.
In a conference dealing with Malcolm X, need anyone mention the power of the word? The next speaker needs no introduction. I bring you the poet laureate of Black liberation, Amiri Baraka.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Very good to see so many old friends, so many friends of Malcolm's. I want to read two poems. One that tries to explain why it is we need this conference. And the second is, of course, to Malcolm X. And I see my brother, Muhammad Babu, out there. We were just talking about the day in January 65. We sat with Malcolm X all night in the Waldorf Astoria right after Babu and him had overthrown the Zanzibari government and began to make what is now Tanzania. And we talked to Malcolm all night. We had brought that all back. This is called, and this is to address ourselves to Vito Bush, and it's called Sin. This is why we need this conference and many conferences wherever you are, wherever you go, like this, to get it back on. This is called Sin Soars. The American people's voice is never heard well, is seldom heard. ABC, CBS, NBC, Rocky, DuPont, Mellon, Rich, Thieves and Murderers is. Pretend human real animals is. Animals that own network newspaper chains, IBM and them, Krupp and Dutch, Phillips, Japanese and German corporations, Israeli bankers and the private collectors of the debt of any nation. They is not, but not the American people. Their voice is never, well, seldom heard. English Department Skull and Crossbone, New Critic Klansman is deconstructing the day named for night slaughter. They laugh, they soul, they do not have. The American people voice, Eurocentric cultists of white supremacy own it. They own the superstructure for the business of planets, namers we call them. They named it and get us to buy it and eat it. They voice is... They voice is always is heard. But not the American people, not many people, real people, whole people, not Americans of any kind, definitely not Native Americans or African Americans, Puerto Rican or Chicano Americans, Central Americans, South Americans, invaders of Panama is, US, USSR con artists ripping off Nicaragua is, always is, Contras, Klan, Nazis is, seldom the people is. The downside negative, but not the American people. The corporations censor the American people's voice. People who own radio stations, people who own TV networks, they can be heard, chicken kings, hotel queens, but not the American people. The American people, their voice is never heard. So now they voices we hear are selling us. They voices carried in image profane. The voices and images jarring our favorite movies and shatters of cell. Like the Germans and Japanese economies, they return via dark shadows to gold light hoorays. Gold, flood, sun, burst, hoorays.
They sell CBS records and CBS films. Miles and Monk and Billy and Duke belong to Samurai Inc. Frank Capra and Orson Welles, Sidney Poitier, Hayworth belong now to Samurai Inc., a subsidiary division of Standard Oil of New York. Give me a S. Give me a O. Give me a N. Give me a Y. Sony, Standard Oil of New York. So they transferred control of German. So they transferred control of German and Japanese corporations at the end of World War II to Rocky's Holdings through Farben and Mitsubishi, the good S went on. With Marshall and his plan, they lifted the spoils and with our death and our toils and gave them legally to themselves. While Truman lied and Eisenhower choked on the oatmeal, they gave themselves money to defend our wealth in their pockets as security guards of Samurai Inc., as Samurai Inc., as Allahu Akbar Oil Guards Inc., as legislators, governors, as money dents and murder dents, as any and every, as what it is, was, and their will overdone. To the bone, to the minstrel grin, to the marrow of electrocution, to the splinters of serial kill, to the tap dances of thugs. They cough up nothing but germs in the ditch of history. They lie, they old and wiggle in ice cubes, knocking cold non-rhythm jolt of swastika, the sauerkraut of vulture grease, the hot dogs with black ketchup, yellow retard, omnipotent frauds, bounced help. The money crosses water as dots and dashes, smelling nothing. The SOS is you breathing, crossing the death row of Rockefeller's daydreaming teeth. They have sold our future to themselves, disguised as foreign languages and dusty ledges. The legs are sprawl, so the dirty boots elaborate the stillness. The letters awry, the tolls cooking us, the oil lamps of brokenness, ghetto-ness, barrio azul we clack, maracas of the pulse, the awaiting as delusion cops a feel. Our map is not at all what it need and would be if we, but then our map is sliced out with the newspaper, with the morality of pay toilets. And where we are is old business, the blurred memory of certain arthritic dips. So why are we, the unheard, the ones for whom democracy is a Republican pornograph, needing only a sharp slave to play? We, the why do we who are burning our flags with the cocaine of them guys, the propaganda fist of greenbacks, we who no have, no see, no, why do we who are not with one person or one vote, who went to electoral college to study dipcraft, fraud light, who do not remember the Three Musketeers, who do not admit to being D'Artagnan, yet are from 1 second past monkey. Why do we who are not heard, the American people, why do we not dig? How come we don't understand that the U.S. is Japan and Germany now? That Russia and China are the new colored guys? What news? No voice for the criminal class. You're just in time not to be. Is our voice riding high with him? Heading for Panama, Nicaragua, Grenada, now breathing vampire blood mixed with rat semen as he speeds toward Cuba. Atomic enema devil, creator of AIDS, square hooligan with an orange S. Where is our why? Our collection of questions that sizzle like beautiful black cartoon bombs. But no one laughs at cartoons. They are like us who we are, carriers, holders, receptacles, vessels, tools, flat money copping scribbles. Are you cripple? Are you the people? Does your church have a joke it tells? A long, interesting payment of a story. Their myth is welcome as green hills of public school Mexico. That it was money, the articulate stuffing, and lives, the history of flashes and gasps, sudden shut metal doors, and bullets whacking into the walls. I'd like to end this with this poem called Today, and this poem from Malcolm. And I realize what the old folks were talking about, spirit, that you can evoke the spirit like All we have to do to bring Malcolm here is to say, Malcolm! And he appears. His spirit is here. So I want you to, when I'm reading this poem here, which is about Malcolm, I want you to beat on something. I mean soft, but beat on something. And make it insistent, like, you know those drums, like something that's beating that won't stop? Beat like it was you coming back from the dead, you know what I mean? And like you was coming to get him, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? You know that beat? You know how it's gonna be when suddenly they look up, Bush and the rest look up and there you be, coming to get him? That's the beat I want. There you go. Today, Malcolm is in us like that first ancestor, the signifying monkey agitating from a tree. He said, you in a jungle, a money jungle, Duke Funked. Malcolm gave us back to ourselves. Who are we, he asked. Malcolm gave Africa back to us, our humanity back to us, our courage with our blood, that hawkness in us, Osiris and Iris. O creators of human beings and civilization, do you not see you are called upon again, again to raise up off all fours, that this is not even a place fit for human love, that slavery is neither scientific nor holy, and its swollen owners, pig gods, we bow down to, heavy with ignorant grinning. What world? Whose world is this? Whose art? Humans living like animals, subject to the animal king. Malcolm beats in us like the heart he gave us. He makes us stand up straight like the courage he left us. In that last gesture of will, brothers and sisters, he said to unleash the bullet shower. And he was dead to kill us. And we are dead till he lives. Malcolm is in us now. He left the outside to live on the inside. He speaks to me often. He speaks to us all. Self-determination, he says. Self-respect, he cries. Self-defense, he calls. And we are not with him. And our enemies kill him. We must be Malcolm. All. Malcolm, bone and brain. Because he is in us now. Like our memory of death. Like our will to be ourselves. Like our future of freedom. Malcolm speaks to us now. He is that self-determining idea that will never die. If we live, so will Malcolm. So we call him and he speaks to us. He is the angry sky, the burning wind, the quiet, knowledgeable rain upon our slave-hurt lives. We call Malcolm's name to remember ourselves, to be what we must be. It will be, if we will, if we will. Malcolm! Thank you.
Again, that's Amiri Baraka. Who was part of a conference that took place on November 1990 in New York City. And the title of the conference was Malcolm X, Radical Tradition and the Legacy of Struggle. And we're playing this as part of a series that we featured actually some months ago. And we just wanted to go back to the archives as we commemorate Malcolm X's birthday, which is May 19th. Also in the spirit of WPFW's Education for Liberation. And for 47 years, WPFW has been utilizing education in the service of liberation. And shows such as ours, Africa Now, I'm your host, Muizzo Mtali. And then early on, you heard in the introduction, James Pope, who is the executive producer and co-host. We try to fulfill that mission weekly here on Wednesdays, 1 to 2 o'clock, 1 p.m. to 2 o'clock Eastern, trying to fulfill the spirit of WPFW, which has been doing for so many years through various programs, educating the public with both culture and political stories and culture and political programming, and which enrich the mind, body, and spirit. And to support our show, as you've been doing throughout these years, because of you, that's why we are here, and we really appreciate it. This is our spring pledge drive, and we have a goal of $600. I'm sure we can go way over that goal, and I'm sure we can have six new members for like $100 each, and we'll be able to fulfill that goal, or even more than that. You can call 1-800-222-9739, 1-800-222-9739, or you can also visit WPFWFM.org, click on the Donate Now button, scroll down to Africa Now to pledge your support. And I think I have with me in the studio, the virtual studio, Katia Stitt, the program director here at WPFW.
Hey, good afternoon, Weeza. How are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you? I'm all the way on the other side.
You are. I know. Okay. Malawi, this is the miracle of technology, right? But we can be here together in the virtual studio. And I just want to remind your listeners how much effort you and James Pope put into curating such an excellent program on not only the African continent proper, but about all things dealing with the African diaspora. And so we ask you to go to the phones now. We still are in need of $600. We have a little over a half hour to get there. And we can do this together, folks. The number to call is 800-222-9739. Or you can go online to WPFWFM.org. And if you value the information, you know, we said that this drive, the theme is education for liberation. And certainly that holds true with what is presented on Africa Now and what is happening with African peoples around the world. So if you appreciate the knowledge that you garner each and every Wednesday from Weeza and James Pope and all that they bring, I mean, what you don't know is what they're bringing to you on air, they're doing tenfold off air in terms of their professional life and their activism. So all of that knowledge, we are the beneficiaries of. And if you understand that, and if you understand the critical nature of having a space here where that can happen, then we implore you now to go to the phone and pledge your support. There are not, I mean, forgive me, Mwiza, maybe you know better than I, but there are not many places where you have weekly, I mean, there are other certainly African programs, but the depth and the analysis that we get from Africa Now is really unique, even among other weekly African programs, I would say. So this is a space that you value, you tune in. A lot of you are appointment listeners to Africa Now. So please show your support. You're new out there. You've been listening. You haven't quite crossed the divide to become a member. And we ask you to do that now. We want four new members this hour, if possible. You can become a sustaining member. If we have one person doing a sustaining membership at $50 a month, we will have made our goal. If we have, we have one person. If we have two people, we can have $25 a month, you know, or perhaps there's someone out there, Mwiza, who can become a major donor right now and give $1,000 and be done. And we exceed our goal. We know that you're there and we know that you listen. So the last part of that equation is for you to support. You're there. You're listening, you're taking in the information. Now it's your turn to support, to be in solidarity with us. 800-222-9739 or WPFWFM.org. Mwiza?
Yes, and I guess also, I think for all those who are abroad, I encourage them to go online at WPFWFM.org. Like I'm actually all the way in Malawi right now. So, and you can still make the donation on the website. And as we said earlier, you can do a little at a time. It can be as $20 a month for sustainer membership, and that will help take us a long way. And I think we're going to go back to the program with Abdul Kalimat. And this is the program entitled Malcolm X, Radical Tradition and the Legacy of Struggle Conference, which was held in New York City in November 1990. And we're playing this as we commemorate Malcolm X's birthday, which was this past May 19th, but also in the spirit of WPFW's Education for Liberation.
Our final panelist is Abdul Kalimat of 21st Century Books. He's the author of Introduction to African American Studies, a People's College Primer, and he's also one of the main organizers of this conference.
Brothers and sisters, comrades and friends, I greet you in the spirit of Malcolm. As Sister Pat said, theory is a framework to study and understand, to guide to action. My brief and simple remarks are summary and focus on two points. First, our radical tradition, and second, a radical method that we can find in the life and leadership of Malcolm. My concern is rebuilding a revolutionary movement, articulating a framework that maximizes our collective strength to find a universal perspective to unite us in our ideological diversity on a level of politics, political theory and action. Can we find in Malcolm the basis for unity in 1990? My first point is that the meaning of Malcolm X is to be found in the radical traditions of the African American people. He is an expression of our collective history and politics. This controversial figure, who was the most reviled and accused during his time, continues to be the only living symbol in every black community in this country, among the most radical, progressive, and militant forces. He was a special person, a gifted and original personality, but perhaps even more important, he was the personification of his people's great traditions of radicalism that live today. This is a critical perspective, because for young people today, this means not only can they know Malcolm as a great individual, but more importantly, that it is necessary to use Malcolm as an open window of opportunity to study and grasp the radical traditions of our people, and in this way embrace one of the greatest sources of change that we have to call upon. It is my argument, it is our argument, that these traditions will continue to make great contributions in our struggle for democracy and justice in this country, politically, socially, economically, and culturally. And in this, we must grasp Malcolm's method. Now, as with all traditions, their main reason for being is survival. Specifically in this case, the survival of a people who give objective and subjective life to the traditions themselves. Every tradition serves this survival function because it reinforces the ability of the people to remain conscious of past lessons of defense against attack, identifying friends and enemies, and consolidating the people in common struggle. Maintaining tradition means reproducing these lessons in the experience of each succeeding generation. A tradition links the past to the future through the symbolic reproduction of important beliefs and practices, survival rituals that concentrate the power of culture, social institutions, and ideology. Survival is an important point to make in that for an oppressed people as ourselves, survival translates into resistance. Furthermore, the tradition is socially reproduced through the experiences of each succeeding generation, inasmuch as the exploitation and oppression out of which the tradition began continues to be experienced by each generation, even if so in new shapes and forms. In sum, black traditions are socially produced anew by each generation on an ad hoc basis and symbolically reproduced as the continuity of cultural legacy in opposition to the oppression which seeks to destroy the independent capacity of the oppressed to maintain a positive identity and have an alternative vision. Indeed, traditions of resistance are even more dangerous than leaders. This is what has always been meant by the notion that you can kill a freedom fighter, but not the desire for freedom. This desire for freedom is at the heart of the traditions of the oppressed, including black people in this country and all over the world. African American people have had five essential aspects of this tradition of survival, of resistance, reflected in their cultural experience, social institutions, and ideological reflections. And these are religiosity, nationalism, Pan-Africanism, socialism, and feminism. First, black religion. Malcolm embodies a radical morality, honest, militant rhetoric, and a vision of the good life based on spiritual freedom and social justice. This has always empowered black people to know that they were morally superior to their oppressors, no matter what. Second, black nationalism. He was committed to the consolidation of community resources, mobilization of the masses of oppressed and exploited people, or the bottom of the pile Negroes, as he called us, in the interest of self-determination. Third, Pan-Africanism. Malcolm understood that the struggle was an international struggle in which black people participated as part of the worldwide linkage of African peoples that extend to all corners of the globe. This linkage is bonded by culture from within and imposed by racism from outside. Malcolm reestablished Africa as the fundamental historical foundation for black identity in the consciousness of the black masses. In a world sense, his only peer would have been perhaps Bob Marley, the great reggae poet philosopher, in spreading this concept of identity. And socialism. Malcolm was not a Marxist by textual reference, but he was anti-capitalist, open to the search for an equitable system based on cooperation and understanding. Especially, he was interested in every socialist experiment that took us beyond the vision, beyond the capitalism we experience in this country, especially in the third world. He embraced radical thinking wherever he found it. Peculiar thing about Malcolm is that he always had an open mind. The struggle for an open mind is the greatest way to intellectually resist the hegemony of the white ruling class that tries to make us think narrowly in little categories. And of course, the necessity of finding and firmly establishing the voice of black women in leadership positions. A seldom quoted reference in an essay by Brother Grant, who was active with Malcolm in the OAAU, to be found in this collection by John Henry Clark. And it's a short little thing, but I think it's very important. Brother, quote, Brother Malcolm called a business meeting for Saturday night, February 20th, 1965, hours before he was assassinated. At his sister's house. There were about a dozen of us present. Malcolm was very tired and restless, but he said it was important that the meeting be held. He said he wanted to make a complete reorganization of the OAAU. It had not been operating to his satisfaction. The OAAU had not been able to take advantage of the attention drawn to it by his activities. And also, he wanted women to be given a more clearly defined role in the OAAU. I think there's a very important development in Malcolm's thinking, the search for that way to overcome the narrowness that we have in our community, to bring forward equal leadership opportunities and expression for the sisters in our struggle in our community. Now, to grasp the cutting edge of Malcolm's tradition, his legacy, you must go within what he said to the methodology, the method. Our task is not to replicate what he did 25 years ago, but to use how he thought to guide the replication that we can carry out of a new type revolutionary intellectual activist to give leadership to our fight for liberation and social transformation today. We might well think of five critical aspects of Malcolm's method. First, critical and independent thought. He stressed that young people, each new generation of radical activists, had to forge their own perspective, had to distrust authority and forge a rigorous democratic intellectual style. He said, and I quote, "One of the first things I think young people, especially nowadays, should learn is how to see for yourself. Listen for yourself. Think for yourself. You can make an intelligent decision for yourself. If you form the habit of going by what you hear others say about someone instead of searching that thing out for yourself and seeing for yourself, you might well be walking east when you think you're walking west. This generation, especially of our people, has a burden, more so than at any other time in history. The most important thing that we can learn to do today is to think for ourselves. It's good to keep wide open ears and listen to what everybody has to say. But when you come to make a decision, you have to weigh all that you have heard on its own and place it where it belongs and come to a decision for yourself. You'll never regret it. All you have to do is to examine the historic method used all over the world by others who have problems similar to yours. Once you see how they got theirs straight, then you know how you can get yours straight. Second point, language study. Malcolm mastered several languages and wanted to grasp more. This is the essential ingredient in the internationalism that we live every day, but we do not experience it in a united way every day. We've got brothers and sisters here who speak French because they're from Haiti. We've got brothers and sisters here from Puerto Rico and Cuba and elsewhere who speak Spanish, the Dominican Republic. The fact of the matter is that language doesn't separate black people into different groups because our experiences objectively are the same. So this study of languages, the grasp of English and using English as a tool and the grasp of these other languages is absolutely necessary. And a lot of times the way this system operates in America is to teach us not to learn what languages other people speak. So an aspect of the black liberation movement will have to unite people in an English-speaking and French-speaking and Creole-speaking and Spanish-speaking community into one diverse dialogue. We already hear each other's music. It's our music collectively. Let us learn these languages together. That's essentially Malcolm's message. Third, verification through facts. Malcolm lived by the dictum to seek truth from facts. This forced his ideological presuppositions to be held in check by the course of historical experience. In the black community, a trend of ideological leadership specializes in the art of rhetorical illusion based on philosophical idealism. Malcolm opposed this. He was aggressive in opting for a terrain of ideological and political struggle based on the clarity of ideas and the evidence presented in making arguments. He wasn't an isolationist. He took our cause into the mainstream anywhere because he confronted people with logic and facts. If we grasp this method of seeking truth from facts, then being a student is an honored role, because one is then bringing clarity to black people in identifying the enemy, in identifying our need to unite and move forward, and then in moving out. Fourth point, organization. Malcolm stressed the need for independent black organization and then weaving a network of organizations. Because to talk of the black liberation movement, the word movement in Malcolm's message was an organized movement. And fifth and most important of all, action must be linked to theory. Action Malcolm was committed to not only understanding the world and all of the wrong and evil that had been done to black people, he was committed to changing the world and making it better for black people. And in his view, which is the extent of our tradition, when we fight to make the world better for ourselves, we have always made it better for everyone. Indeed, Malcolm was a supreme black crusader against the Eurocentric lie. First, as an isolationist Afrocentric zealot, but fully developed as a world anti-imperialist black nationalist warrior. He was a nationalist in his particularity, but his project was a universal project for humanity. My position, finally, is that Malcolm would have embraced the higher aspirations of the revolutionary perspective of all great revolutionary leaders. But he would never have accepted a European center of world revolution, and no text in his own individual case of ideological dogma over the Quran. However, in the world, in American society, on social, economic, and political issues, he stood for freedom, justice, and equality firmly within the tradition of revolutionary fighters for socialism and national liberation that have characterized the world since World War II, up until very recently in the reversals that the comrade brother here spoke about. He would have continued to reject the neocolonial sellout, the reformist compromise. Today, there have been great reversals in this country. The masses are being forced to suffer in new and unprecedented ways, and this is forcing the youth to search for more militant leadership options. They are turning to Malcolm. The times are changing, brothers and sisters, comrades and friends. The spirit of Malcolm lives in our tradition, and it's being born anew today. On his shoulders, we can face the 21st century with confidence that victory will be ours. Remember the five sources of the radical black tradition: our religious, morality, Pan-Africanism, nationalism, socialism, and feminism. We draw strength from those sources. Remember the five points of Malcolm's method: death to our enemies, unite and build the struggle, revolution is possible.
And again, that's Abdul Al-Kalimat, and he was speaking at the conference which took place in New York City in November 1990, which was entitled Malcolm X, Radical Tradition and the Legacy of Struggle. And we play that as we commemorate WPFW's Spirit of Education for Liberation and Malcolm X's birthday, which is May 19th. This is from our archives. It's the first part of a series which we featured some time ago. And also with me in the studio, in the virtual studio, is WPFW's program director, Katia Stitt. Katia, do you have any news for us?
I do have a little bit of news for you all. I'm sorry, I'm looking at my tally sheet or trying to locate my tally sheet. So many things going on. Yes, we want to say thank you to Anonymous out of Kensington, Maryland. Thank you so much, getting us that much closer. We are now in need of $550 in 12 minutes to go. We can do this, though, folks. If you can become a member at the $50 level, a sustaining member, which really helps us because that helps us to plan throughout the year. We know that we can count on your $50, your $25, your $100 every month. That helps us a great deal. So if you can become a sustaining member at the $50 level today, we can exceed this goal. We will be right on track. If there are two people that can become sustaining members at the $25 level, then again, we can be right on track with this goal. We need you now. We ask for your support. This is really one of the finest programs on the African world that you will hear anywhere. And I've been a lot of places. I've traveled a lot of places, you know, and I've never heard anything like Africa Now. And the work that James and Mwiza do is just exemplary. And it is a shining light as to what is possible when you really are centering education for liberation. And so that if you, like what we just heard, I got lost actually in the speech there, Mwiza, and I really you know, I got into a place of thinking about Malcolm. Of course, this morning, I also dedicated my show to Malcolm X. There is so much to mine there. I thought about what he said when he went to Hajj. You know, I've been to Morocco several times now, I can say, and it is so true, right? They are clearly Africans. Sometimes they don't look it, but they will let you know quick that they are Africans, you know, that they are North Africans and should be treated as such. They will say to you, you're my sister, you're my brother. So Malcolm gave us that worldview. Malcolm gave us that entree into a global, into a diasporic Pan-African vision. And so if you understand the importance of having that, and not just for Black people, let's be clear, it's not just for Africans around the globe. It is for everyone, because when we are all, first of all, we all came from Africa. So this is information that is critical for everyone to have. And if you appreciate all that Africa now brings us, all the insight, all the information, all the cultural contributions they bring us. You know, Mwiza is a musicologist. He doesn't like me to say it too loudly, but he is a musicologist, and you hear it in the programming that they do. So if there's anything that you've ever walked away with this program, and you have not made a pledge yet, I ask you to do so now. 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org. 9 minutes to go, $550 to the goal. We can do this together, folks. Mwiza?
Yes, we only have... Actually, only for what we actually close at 50 at 5 minutes to the hour. But you can still support the show up to 2 o'clock. And again, just to remind folks, you can also go online at the WPFWFM.org, scroll down to Africa Now, and make your pledge there. And as we said before, you can do it in many steps. You can have a sustainer, which can be something like whatever your budget needs are. You know, whatever your budget can take. It can be $5 a month, $10 a month, or you can do $100 a month. All is welcome. No support is too small or too large for this station, this valuable station, this university on the air. And as we're talking about the University of the Air Katia, Abdullah Kalamat in that segment was talking about how being a student of, in the movement, that one is always learning and one is always adjusting to the times as well. And that's what WPFW does throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the months, and throughout the years, 47 years that it's been doing that. Not sure if we have enough time to play a little clip of the next segment, because we only have 3 minutes to go. So maybe that will give us time for people to go to the phones or go online and make your pledge to Africa Now and WPFW as we continue the education for liberation. This university on the air, which has been your, in the African proverb, this has been your child. It takes a village to raise a child. And it's because of your support that we've been doing this for 47 years. Some of us a little less than 47 years on WPFW, but altogether is 47 years. And as Katia mentioned, there are very few places where you see, where you hear information coming about the African world, of the African world, by the African world, unlike WPFW with Africa Now, with, for instance, our colleagues, Voices with Vision, and other shows, African Deep Thought, and on the Ground, which is on Fridays at 10 o'clock. And so throughout the weeks, you have shows which look at the African world, and Africa Now is part of that. Just want to thank James Pope, who's our executive producer and co-host, and also want to thank our Africa World Now Project collective of Tasmin Siddiqui, Dr. Kishikan Perry, Dr. Josh Myers, and Kurt Erdison. And also want to thank our research fellow volunteers, Chanda Koza and Funan Gonda, and our engineer, Michael Nisela. Up next is Headline News, followed by Shainana and Hussein Alamin, and that's followed by Sophie's Parlor. And I want to thank Katia Stitt, our program director, who does so much work to make sure we are on the air with all the various programs. Thank you. Have a great day. Have a great week. And stay safe. I'm Muiza Muntali, your host.
From WPFW News in Washington, I'm Sue Goodwin. Today is Wednesday, May 22nd. Here are some headlines. Powerful tornadoes tracked across western Iowa yesterday, killing multiple people and leaving at least a dozen injured in the small city of Greenfield. Tornadoes, storm damage, and power outages were also reported in Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Illinois. The National Weather Service was reviewing almost two dozen tornado reports in the four states where 100,000 homes and businesses were without power early today. The storms are the latest in a stretch of severe weather that has been sweeping across the Midwest since eight people died in the Houston area last week. The weather system is expected to turn south today, bringing more severe weather to parts of Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and southern Missouri. In political news, primary voters in Georgia went to the polls yesterday and supported officials at the center of the state's prosecution of former President Donald Trump. In Fulton County, District Attorney Fannie Willis, whose office is prosecuting Trump for election interference, won a contested Democratic primary, and Fulton County Superior Court Judge Scott McAfee, who is hearing the Trump case in Georgia, also won on Tuesday in what was officially a nonpartisan race. McAfee has been a judge for just over a year since Republican Governor Brian Kemp appointed him to fill an empty seat. He will now serve a full four-year term beginning in January. In international news, none of the food and supplies that have entered the Gaza Strip through a U.S.-built pier in its first 5 days of operation have been distributed to Palestinians, a Pentagon spokesman said at a news briefing yesterday. Several desperate Gazans intercepted trucks delivering aid from the pier on Saturday, leading the UN to suspend delivery operations until the logistical challenges are resolved. Meanwhile, the Pentagon said the U.S. is working with the UN and Israel to identify safe delivery routes. The temporary pier is one of the few remaining entry points for aid shipments since Israel began an incursion into Rafah in southern Gaza earlier this month. And the Israeli government will return a camera and broadcasting equipment it seized from the Associated Press yesterday. The decision came just hours after Israel shut down AP's live video of Gaza and followed criticism from the Biden administration and international journalists and rights groups. In seizing the equipment, Israel argued it was used to provide images to Al Jazeera, which has been banned in Israel following the passage of a new foreign broadcast law. Press advocates have warned that the law creates a dangerous precedent for censoring independent news outlets in the region amid the ongoing war in Gaza. The AP's live video of Gaza was back up early today. And in weather today in Washington, it is currently 80 degrees under sunny skies. Temperatures are expected to rise to 86 by the end of the day before cooling off a bit tomorrow. From WPFW News in Washington, I'm Sue Goodwin.